Ferguson. We're going to pick up 359 first. This is a bill that this committee introduced on behalf of the city of Borough of Haynes. This is really a finance committee on whether or not we should help defray the cost of that merge and consolidation. This language mirrors what's an existing statute for a borough to incorporate, which I personally think is a little bit high, but again, that's a finance committee issue on whether or not to grant them any money. But I recognize there are expenses in a municipality when they do merge up, and the state should probably be a part of that. So I introduced the bill so we'd have the discussion. I think we had to testify on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members. My name is Robert Venables, and I'm here today on behalf of Haynes City Manager Mark McPinnell-Berry and the community of Haynes. I've lived in Haynes since 1984. I've been involved in numerous projects and committees on behalf of the City of Haynes, the Haynes Borough, and the Haynes Chamber of Commerce. But the most important community project to date in Haynes is consolidation. For the Haynes community, consolidation is the first step toward achieving a home rule government. Senate Bill 359 is a measure that will help us transition from two disparate local governments into one home rule government. Haynes has the only third-class borough in the state of Alaska. It was designed as a compromise mechanism to allow for school funding after the citizens of Haynes voted three times against forming either a first or second-class borough. While the third-class borough form of government seemed to work for some time, it was just a matter of time before its inadequacies caught up with it. And now, when there is a desire to consolidate the two governments, we do find that the task before us is quite daunting. What has evolved in Haynes is two very incompatible systems of government. This community of 2,400 people has two legislative bodies, two mayors, two planning commissions, actually five if you count the service areas in Mud Bay and Lutac, and the state of Alaska's responsibilities in the outlying areas of the borough. We also have separate comprehensive plans, two legal systems, two financial systems, and two personnel systems, and two very different computer systems that do not integrate with each other. Our local election last October, the voters elected new mayors and implemented a city manager form of government. This has removed many of the contentious personalities and issues that caused consolidation to fail in 1998 by just three votes. Our two mayors and city manager have worked hard to forge a spirit of cooperation that better represents the community's best interests. It is the consensus of our political leaders that one local government can serve Haynes better than the current two governments. This holds great promise for the passing of consolidation. The Local Boundary Commission approved the Haynes consolidation proposal last week, and the Division of Elections has scheduled the vote for consolidation to be held on June 25, 2002. Transitional funding will be needed in order to accomplish the consolidation effort in a timely and professional manner. It is a significant challenge to maintain government operations while simultaneously changing every aspect of operations. Our plan is to use consulting expertise to merge our systems of accounting and finance, taxes, legal and code revisions, comprehensive planning, platting and zoning, computers, and information technology and personnel. The consolidation of the Haynes Borough and the City of Haynes will be in the best interest of the state of Alaska. Having one government in Haynes instead of two will create efficiencies in the interactions between the state of Alaska and Haynes. It will relieve the state government of the responsibility of providing some of the local services while promoting the maximum level of local self-government. The Local Boundary Commission is on record supporting both the creation of new borough governments and good, sound local governmental units. Current law provides funding for new boroughs and unified municipalities. A borough consolidated from a third-class borough and a city is not eligible for funds at this time. Many governmental experts believe this to be an oversight. Both the City of Haynes and the Haynes Borough have endorsed the consolidation effort and are working together to ensure that it has the best chance to succeed. We would ask the committee's assistance in making this hope a reality. Thank you. That's the conclusion of my remarks. And
questions? Thank you. Anybody else here to testify on 359? Is that the number? Okay, anybody on teleconference? Okay. What's the will of the committee.
Yeah, I would move Senate Bill 359 out of committee with individual recommendations and accompanying political notes.
Is there objection? Hearing none, that'll move on. Which one do you want to do next, Mary? 296?
No, 312.
312.
312.
312. B12 is by the House Finance Committee, or by Representative Williams, an act relating to the delay of the reduction of supplementary public school funding relating to the funding of the Alaska Youth Academy Program providing for an effective date. I assume you're with the sponsor?
That's correct.
Go ahead and introduce yourself.
For the record, my name is Randy Ruaro. I am a legislative staffer for Representative Williams. Representative Williams thanks the chairman and the committee for hearing this legislation today. Also here today to address questions on the fiscal notes is Mr. Jeans from the agency, and Representative Guess is here to assist, if necessary, to discuss the part of the bill that addresses funding for the Alaska Challenge Youth Academy. I would like to discuss the part of the bill that suspends the erosion effect of the supplemental funding floor. This part is contained in sections 1 and 3 of the bill, and these two sections have the effect of suspending for one fiscal year, FY03, the erosion of the supplemental funding floor that was created by SB 36. And the reason for the suspension is for 1 year, is that by next January, the legislature should have available to it a new study of school district cost factors. And it's anticipated that that study would provide legislators with a base of information on which to make decisions on school funding for FY04. Just note that Section 3 of the bill makes it clear that the suspension of the erosion for FY03 doesn't affect the funding reductions that have already been made in FY00, 01, and 02.
Questions? There are none. Thank you. Anybody else here to testify on this bill? Anybody online? Okay. Senator Lincoln, you have a question?
I'm going to try and speak as loud as I can, Mr. Chairman, but I did want to hear about that part of the Alaska Challenge Youth Academy program, which I think represented. Yes, please speak on this bill.
For the record, Representative Gretchen Guess, I helped create Section 2 of this bill. The Youth Academy Challenge Program is a program run out of the Military and Veterans Affairs Department. It is a joint program with the federal government to provide educational and vocational services to at-risk youth. These are youth over the age of 16 who have dropped out of school. The morning is spent on trying to prepare students to get their GEDs on basic skills of reading, writing, and computing. The afternoon is spent in vocational. This is basically boot camp for youths. It has been very successful. This part of the bill sets up a funding structure for them, a simplistic foundation formula. It just says they get X number of dollars per student, and then we take away the federal funding that they receive, and what is left is the funding that we need to provide through GF dollars. They have never gotten funding by per cadet, and this kind of sets up that structure based on how many cadets they have in the program. With that, Mr. Chair, I'll answer any questions.
Mr. Chairman, so the 334 is $334,000 is on top of what that's GF dollars that we beyond the federal dollars, and that's one of the questions. And then the second is, do you know if the Department of Education is supporting this portion of the legislation?
through the chair, Senator Lincoln, Nico Buss from the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs is here to go over the fiscal note. That is my understanding that it would be at this point, with what we expect to get in from the federal government, an additional $349,000 to the Youth Academy. On your question, the Department of Education and Early Development is very supportive of this program and providing the program stable funding. They believe, at least that you have told me, that they work closely with the program. They do believe it is it's not a school, it's a program, and it's best in military and veterans affairs, but they do work with the other department.
Other questions?
This is over the budget. I think this is about a $65,000 increase because there were some general funds taken out of both sides.
65?
If this budget were to pass, as it sits, the fiscal note is correct, but if the budget were to pass as is, it would only represent about a $65,000 increase.
Thank you, Senator Kelly.
Okay, any other questions? Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I'm wondering, I don't want to drag this on, but you know, there's two different notes from the Department of Education here, both dated the same day, and I'm wondering whether maybe Eddie James or somebody could come up and just run through them real quick so they're better informed.
He changed his mind.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Eddie Jeans. I'm the school finance manager for the Department of Education. In answer to Senator Osterman's question, there are two fiscal notes, and the reason is because there are two budget components that are affected by this piece of legislation. One is the foundation program, which has the fiscal note of $334,000, and the second component is the schools for the handicapped, where the allocation for the Challenge Youth Program will sit in the department's budget.
Senator Osterman.
Read far enough on top to really make a difference.
Where are we reducing the federal funds?
Through the chair, Senator Kelly, I'm not sure exactly what you mean by reducing the federal funds, but on the cover of this fiscal note for the Challenge program, you can see that we calculate an entitlement for them, and then from that we subtract the amount of dollars that are currently being allocated through the federal government for that program to come up with the additional state allocation.
You're not actually, you're not taking away federal funds, you're using that as your formula to form them.
Through the chair, you're correct, Senator Kelly. It's very similar to the foundation program. We calculate an entitlement and then we make adjustments for federal dollars. Thank you.
Other questions or comments? Representative Williams, I didn't even see you back there. You're high. This is similar to the other board. This is more of a finance committee measure. As I told Representative Williams, I don't think this bill has much chance of survival through the process, but you never know. But I didn't think it appropriate to hold it in this committee. It should go up to finance and let finance put all the, let Senator Kelly do his magic. So is there a motion to move the bill? Senator Osterman.
Yeah, I would move House Bill 312 out of this committee with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes.
I don't have anything.
It's with the other
Oh. We're like the people on TV. We only have one pen. We can't.
Budget cuts.
We can't. Budget cuts. I'm telling you. He's tough on the legislative branch. Which one next, Mary? 455? Okay, let's do that one.
That's 455.
Excuse me, sir.
Okay, Bill. Here's Representative Williams. All right, so. Okay, we already heard this bill, Mayor?
Yes, sir. Senator, you're the Senate bill. Senator Terrio's bill is the companion.
Oh, that's right. I remember that. Okay, so we have before us now House Bill 455, an act relating to the assessment of certain agricultural land for purposes of municipal taxation. We heard the Senate companion last week, but since the House bill came over, it overcame the Senate companion. Is that
fair statement?
Okay. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Pete Feldman. I work for Representative John Harris. House Bill 455 is the companion bill to Senate Bill 352. There is, however, a slight change that was made on the House side where we did work with the State Assessor's Office and we changed some language on the last page of the bill and took out the words farm, which was restricted upon the farm use and put a restricted upon the true value based upon that restriction is what we added. We did this at the request of the State Assessor's Office. They felt like this bill was acceptable to them under this change. Briefly, Alaska already recognizes that there's different types of land in the state. There's ag-restricted land, there's fee simple land, and there's ag land that has a agricultural covenant. Under this legislation, it would free farmers who have agriculturally restricted land from having to apply for the exemption that's required under land that's fee simple land and is being used for agriculture. That's really the foundation of everything we are doing, trying to basically remove that requirement because the land is already restricted in the state. And it seems cumbersome to have to fill out on a yearly basis a request to have your land reassessed. And that, pretty much in a nutshell, wraps up what the bill does.
Questions? Okay, we have Steve Van Zandt online and Rob Wells and Elizabeth, looks like Hickerson with the Department of Law. Senator Lincoln. I didn't hear you. Okay. Well, I'm done. They're all there to answer questions, so unless there's questions of those on the line then, or questions of this filler.
Can you hear me? That's not going to help. If the tax assessment changes, and Emily support this, what approximately, what is the difference between the current tax assessment and what this bill would be doing?
The assessment will still be made on the value of the land.
Right.
We're not attempting to have the municipal assessor. We're not setting any guidelines for that. This will, however, allow people who have agriculturally restricted land to go to the borough assessor's office and make a case that they feel like their land should be valued on what its agricultural use is, not based as fee simple land that can be divided up and sold in parcels.
Is there any projected cost differential for that?
I don't know that I understand your question, Senator Lincoln.
Surely that this is, the bill is intended so that, and as the correspondence that I read, is to get the assessment down to what it's actually used for farm.
That this bill would allow that to take place at the discretion of the assessor.
And so that could have an effect upon the borough or the city for the assessment?
It could.
And that was my question. What's that deviation.
We haven't set a parameter. That still would be at the discretion of the borough assessor and working with the people who own the agriculturally restricted land.
Are there projections out there, though, that would say that if fee simple land is appraised at $100,000, but by changing through this thing, is there a projection of what it may come down to if, based upon what ag land and I don't want to use the word devalued, but...
Senator Osterman, this wouldn't affect fee simple land. Only in the law would stay the same for fee simple land, which requires if you are using fee simple land as agricultural land, then you make the application on a yearly basis. State assessor appraises what you are doing and makes a determination. This won't change under this legislative change. What we will do is just not require land that is restricted already as agricultural land to be evaluated on a yearly basis.
Mr. Van Zandt, you have you heard the questions. Do you have any comments?
Mr. Chairman, I can add some comments to that if you would like, sir.
Go ahead.
If I can address some of the questions asked by Senator Lincoln and Senator Osterman. Just to let you know, this bill basically requires that the assessor not require those people who have ag-restricted land to go to the assessor. It requires the assessor not to require of those people who have those ag-restricted lands to come to the assessor's office each year and fill out paperwork to get into the agricultural tax deferment program, which was currently decided 29-45-02. People who have these ag restricted land, and the numbers I'm going to use are somewhat hypothetical, but they're in the ballpark. If we have a piece of ground that's owned in fee simple, it could be worth in the neighborhood of $3,000 to $5,000 an acre, let's say. If that person who owns that piece of ground is farming it and they apply to the assessor on an annual basis for this program, it will be assessed in the neighborhood of $400 an acre. So the remainder of that is being deferred out of the program. The individuals who have these parcels are paying in the neighborhood of between $400 and $600 an acre. That's what these parcels would be assessed at, $400 to $600 an acre. Not the $4,000 to $6,000 an acre that might be assessed if it were on fee simple. And I hope that answers the question, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Osterman.
I think I understand correctly, but just to make sure. But this bill does not, I mean, that's a process that's already going on. And if they go in and apply on a yearly basis, and all this bill does is allow them not to have to go on a yearly basis to apply to do the same thing.
Through the chair, Senator Osterman, that's exactly correct. This bill was, those who have the ag-restricted land don't have to do a thing each year. They will be assessed on the ag-restricted value.
Other questions? Anybody else here to testify on this bill? What's the will of the committee on this one? Senator Osterman.
I'll move House Bill 455 out of committee with individual recommendations and any of this talking fiscal bills.
Here's the pen.
Should we just put a recommendation on hand and show it to the Senate Secretary?
Okay, now, that brings us back to House Bill 296. This is an act relating to mergers and consolidation of municipalities. Now, we are going to take, Kevin Waring. Mr. Waring, we already heard the bill, but Mr. Waring was in meetings and couldn't testify last week, so we will allow him to testify. So go ahead, Kevin. Hello?
Maybe Dan Bockhorst. Show them on.
Are they on or not on?
They're not on.
Oh, okay. Then we'll go right into the bill. We have a supplemental packet that our members got, which has three amendments in it that we are going to deal with today, up or down or sideways. The first amendment, when we left the bill, we left this amendment pending. And there was some discussion about changing that amendment to allow, if there's more than two municipalities, allows one, allows two of them to merge without one of them voting the whole thing down, if that was the case. And that was requested by Senator Osterman. So to get us to, that's an amendment number two. So to get us to that, we need to, a motion to withdraw amendment number one, and then we can move number two. Senator Osterman.
I'd move to withdraw our actual amendment number one.
Okay.
Rescind, is it a rescinding?
Well, we never adopted it, so it was just offered. So there's a motion to withdraw amendment number one. Is there objection? Hearing none, that's out of here. That brings us to amendment number two. Which, by the way, amendment number one is incorporated in this amendment. It just starts on line 19 and continues on down through. Senator Osterman.
I'll move amendment number two.
Okay, amendment number two has been offered. Did I explain it correctly? Is there a discussion on amendment number two? Is there objection to the adoption of amendment number two? Hearing none, that will be adopted. And that brings us to amendment number three, which is activability clause. Basically, this says that this does not affect any petition that is currently pending before Department of Community and Regional Affairs. So we're starting with a whole new rule. Is there a motion to move that?
So moved.
Okay, there's a motion to adopt amendment number three. Is there a discussion? Is there objection to the adoption of amendment number three? Hearing none, then that has been adopted. Brings the bill back before us. What do I have to do next, Mary?
Perhaps.
How do you get all these notes? Can't we talk before we come down here?
Read your notes.
I know, I've been busy all day. I saw her when I walked in. Okay.
You might see if they're back online today.
Nobody's online? Okay. What's the next committee referral on 296?
296 goes to judiciary and then to finance.
Okay, so it's got a way to go. So is there a motion to move the bill?
Mr. Chairman, I would move House Bill 296 out of the next committee for all individual recommendations and any accompanying positions.
The motion to move the CRACS out of committee. Is there objection? Hearing none, and that moves out. So that concludes all our business of today and about all the business that we have to do.
We're caught up, huh?
Well, we got a couple today we got to look at, but we'll probably only have one meeting in a week. That'll keep us up to speed, and they should be pretty short like this. So nothing else come before us. We'll stand adjourned.